Hello, and welcome to the Made for Mothers podcast, your one-stop shop for candid and relatable conversations about motherhood and entrepreneurship. Think of the show as your new mom friend, where we dive into all things marketing, branding, mindset, money, childcare, and growing your business while we all navigate our roles as both CEO and mom. I'm your host, Mariah Stockman, and I wear a bunch of hats. I'm a boy mama, I'm serving as a marketing mentor for mothers, I'm running a six-figure marketing agency, and on top of that, I'm the proud founder of the Made for Mothers community. This show is about sharing the real stories and the practical strategies from fellow mother-run businesses. So dive in, grab your headphones, reheat that coffee, and let's go. Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of the Made for Mothers podcast. I am your host, Mariah Stockman, boy mama, biz mentor for moms in business, community founder of the Made for Mothers universe, and big, big fan of our guest today, Amanda Smith, who is the CEO and founder of the Dallas Girl Gang, which if you don't know about the Dallas Girl Gang, let me tell you, they are, first of all, they're a Facebook group with 42,000 members, like active live members, just loving up each other in Dallas. Okay. It's a community for women looking for friends, career, business building connections through events, an online membership. Hey, hey, community. And Amanda is an expert in all things events, brand partnerships, and community building, which we are just going to dive straight into it. Hello, Amanda.
Hi, hi. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited. And I'm a big fan of you. Really glad that we're getting to do this. And I'm even sporting my mama sweatshirt. My mom had this made out of baby clothes that don't fit my baby anymore.
Okay.
Isn't it so cute?
Okay. I wish everyone could see this, but it's like so cute. It's
I know.
Like
I'll patchwork take a picture mama. And tag you.
Oh my gosh, that's so cute. And what I should have mentioned, obviously you're a mom or else you wouldn't be on this podcast. You had your... I mean, not just, but I mean, you kind of like just had your first baby. I mean, how old's your babe today?
Nash is almost 14 months. I still say I'm a new mom, but it feels like it and it also doesn't. But
yes, I feel like that first 18, once you get past like the 18 month mark, I think it just, everything changes. It just feels like it's on... I don't know. 0 to 1 is so long and so hard and so slow. And then 1 to 2 for me, because my son just turned 2, was like a blink of an eye. It was like so fast. So
That's kind of what I'm anticipating.
Yes. Okay. But you know what's so funny about having you on this podcast is I think I joined your, I'm not in Dallas.
Yeah.
Newsflash. Newsflash. You've never met me in real life. I'm not in Dallas. Okay. Somehow, some way the universe brought your content in front of me. Like, When was Dallas Girl founded?
We are going to celebrate 7 years, so 2017.
Okay, so I must have found you like early when I first moved to DC somehow, because I think I've been in like your email newsletter for like 5 years, and I've been following and watching.
What?
I know, isn't that crazy? But get this, I only launched my own community this past year, and I can't even begin to tell you. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to reach out to Amanda Smith at some point in my career and just tell her and honor her, like tell you right now how inspiring it is to watch you build what you've built in Dallas, because it,
oh wow,
I can just feel the energy from someone who's not even in that community, you know, and it just feels so good. And I feel like every community needs, you know, in my mind, a Made for Mothers, and in your mind, a Dallas Girl Gang, which is just like this village concept. Like, growing a business is hard. In my world, being a business and growing, being a mom and growing a business, same with you, is hard, right? You have so many young entrepreneurs who are just entering the scene. They don't know what they're doing. We need so much of so much. And I feel like you've just hit this niche and you've like, it's like exploded, and I know it's a lot of work. So let's get into it. But tell us a little bit about you and life and kind of like from your perspective, what is Dallas Girl Gang and all that good stuff?
Yeah, well, you know, make me blush. That was very sweet. And really, Dallas Girl Gang, so in 2017, started it as a Facebook group. And I just wanted friends. too. I was doing a network marketing business at the time, and I wanted to network and yada yada. There were no communities like this in DFW, in our metroplex. There were pockets for real estate agents, or like, you know, if you're a fashion blogger, or you know, these different like niche groups.
Yeah, tech or whatever. Yes.
Tech or, yes. You know, you're in marketing and things like that.
Or you're in like a BNI, or you're in the chamber, you know, kind of the more traditional stuff.
More traditional route. But I was a teacher. Like I was a music teacher in elementary school. I wasn't a corporate gal. I wasn't a girl wearing suits and heels and yada yada. So I was like,
you mean you weren't taking like brand photo shoots? You weren't?
Absolutely not. No, absolutely not. I had no idea what I was doing. And so I knew I wanted to connect with people. There wasn't anything like this. There wasn't anything for what I imagined in my head was, where is the place that women can just land? Like, regardless of like their job, their background, blah, blah, blah. And now really what it's become is a place where, one, I was just talking with my team about this yesterday, women that are graduating from college, because we were talking about how our demographic has changed, and the millennial demographic has grown up with me over the past 7 years. Mm-hmm. We're still here. We're still targeting those people, but we do have outliers. And now it's this Gen Z of, they're watching us. They're graduating college and they're like, what the fuck do I do next?
Right.
And I need to know, where do I get a job? What should I do? Should I freelance? Should I get a corporate job? Should I start a business? And so it's been so interesting to see that, but that's just like a snippet of Dallas Girl Gang, or DGG. I'll just shorten it. And I've always been a community driven person. I grew up in church, still involved in church. I think that whole scene has really seasoned me to be able to know how to facilitate community and groups of people and programming and intentional community culture, which I'm sure we'll get into.
Yeah. Okay, wait, can I just tell you that I love that? Because I was a summer camp counselor for 7 years in Michigan. I would fly from California to Michigan in my 20s. I mean, in my, you know, 18, 19, 20, 21, for way too many years, way too many years. My career shows that. And I always say like, God, I'm designed for this. I am designed. I'm like, I literally start our meetups and I'll be like, if you can hear my voice, you clap once. You can hear my voice. Clap twice. But I feel like what you're saying is like, you know, these traditional communities of church, camps, like, you know, things that are really informative when we're younger, they've built these skills inside of you, inside of me, to be able to just
100%.
hold big space, to just command space in a beautiful way that's like not ego driven. And I think that that's mm-hmm. like the real community building.
And make people feel comfortable.
Yes, you know, and like welcomed and warm and like excited.
And welcome, and not feel like, oh, should I be here? Or like, did I wear the right thing? Or, you know, are these people going to talk to me? Like, it's so undervalued, the skills that you grow up with, like that internship you had as a high school kid or college mm-hmm. kid, or that job you had. Like, I worked at Chick-fil-A when I was in high school. That was a damn good job. Like, I learned so much about
manners,
serving people, manners. All kinds of things. And then going into being a teacher, and just to share a little bit more about me, like my background is music education. I went to a small school in Arkansas. That's where I met my husband. Graduated with a degree in music education, emphasis in vocal. I play instruments and things like that, but you have to pick one or the other. And then I taught for a couple of years in Arkansas, came back to Texas. That's all I knew. Like, I had no idea. My business partner in my agency, I have a marketing agency in addition to Dallas Brogan, and we always talk about how we're accidental entrepreneurs. I didn't mm-hmm. do this on purpose. I started a Facebook group because I wanted to make friends and I wanted a community, and there wasn't one. And then it evolved into a business, and I did have a mentor come alongside me and things like that. So, but my teaching background, you know, I taught for 7 years and I quit at the end of 2020 in December, which sounds really fun and easy. It was.
No.
Right.
Also, but, what a weird time to be in the schools with the pandemic and quitting and pivoting. Yeah. Yeah.
bought a house at the same time. Like, highly don't recommend that because
yeah, we did too. We bought a house in March 2020. We did too. We were like, yep. Let's see, here we go.
And then, yeah, especially if you're self-employed, like I was W-2. And as far as mortgages was concerned, I was still a W-2 and they didn't know I was quitting. And so we're just going to leave it at that. But, and then after I quit, you know, I've been doing this full time and that's been a whole other journey of going through developing community, being a coach for a long time. So I needed to kind of take that off the table publicly. Then I had my son. 2023 was kind of like a roller coaster, not kind of, it was a roller coaster and a blur at the same time.
Right.
And now 2024 is going well. It's still interesting, but it's also been really transformative for me so far. Anyway, I know we've got lots of other things to get into, but.
No, I love this idea of like, hey, I needed to make friends. And then, you know, so many years later, you're like, cool, I have 42,000 of them now. Like, what do I do with this? Like, how do I become a good steward of this? How do I stay a good steward of this? How do I not lose momentum? Do people still want this? I'm sure there's like so many, how do I make things feel, you know, familiar for my members, but also how am I always going to be adding new things to keep people engaged? There's just so like many questions and so many pieces that like my thinking taps into, like community culture, like with that many women in one group, like how do you keep it to be not clicky? And how do you keep that culture to be healthy and happy? And I'm a part of a lot of like online spaces where they don't feel great. And you do feel like there's ulterior motives from the top down. And how have you kept this community growing in a way that I would hope for the members just like feels good and is something they're excited about?
The one thing that continues to drive people to us and what we do, and I say this not because I think this is what is the truth, but from like the feedback we get and the data, it's the intentionality of everything that we do. And I think that comes from me developing as a leader and having set out with what's now our trademark, you can sit with us, and just the ethos of that just sets the tone, right? So that's one. Two, there are complete different dynamics in the pockets of our community. So Facebook group, it's a free Facebook group. Everybody is a part of hundreds of Facebook groups, right? It is kind of the wild, wild west. Even in 2024, I'm actually still shocked at how much we grow every month or whatever. And sometimes we have 500 new members, 1,000 new members in a month or something. But I think, you know, Facebook group is different. It's not always like everybody's hugging each other and kumbaya. I know. La, la, la. There's definitely shit that goes down.
And it's really hard to be the moderator of something of that size. Like, I'm just thinking from like an administrative perspective. I'm like, who's on your team manually accepting 1,000 new members? I mean, I know it's not Amanda, but I'm just thinking just from the pure like administrative side of keeping a group of that size growing. Anyways, okay, keep going. So,
well,
yes.
I'll tell you, and it's not like a secret. Spoiler alert, my husband actually manages our Facebook group.
Oh my God, I love that. I am so here for this. Stop.
He pretends to be me, like, you know, and it's, some people know, but it's something that
has to happen. It has to happen.
It has to be done with a lot of like attention and care, especially with our brand partners that have access to the Facebook group for building their business purposes, because they are paying for that.
Yeah, they're paying for 42,000.
They're paying for
leads, you know, exposure.
Or whatever, yeah. But the way that we kind of keep it clean and keep it within our brand values are we manually accept everybody into the group and we manually approve every single post, which is a lot sometimes.
Wow.
Now we have a really like easy system down. We also have a software that we use that funnels people through approvals, like when they want to join the group. So if you don't accept our rules and if you don't answer all the questions, you do not get in. And it's just like, we just delete it and you can resubmit later.
What's the software called?
It's called Group Funnel. I purchased it a long time ago for $200.
Yeah. It's probably now like $2,000 an hour. Yeah.
And it's a one-time, you integrate it into Google Chrome as an extension, yeah, and it shows you how to set it up or whatever. And then you can collect people's emails. That's how we grow our email list as well.
Yeah. I was just going to ask you.
Certain way you have to set it up so that it can read the data when you mm-hmm. export it into like a CSV or something.
This is like life-changing for me because I'm embarrassed because I literally manually enter like every single email address still. But my group is so small. So it's like manageable. So it's nice to know that there's programs like this out there.
Yeah.
And husbands.
I did that for a long time by myself. And then eventually I like trained someone else to do it. And then once I found the software, I was like, oh, screw this. We're just going to get this. And then it was more of the management of watching for flagged content or reported content. You know, and we have certain rules of like what you can submit as a post. Like if you're selling your dog, no. Plus that goes against Facebook guideline rules. We just have a guideline list of like what criteria we want curated in this group. And, you know, obviously we have a lot of entrepreneurs in our community. I would venture to say up to 55%, 60% now of our community is entrepreneurs, but we don't just let you post about your business, right? Because that is not the best way to grow your business. Like the best way to grow your business is to build relationships with people,
right?
Show up at events, join other online platforms, join our membership, the Founders Collective, like things like that. Anyway, yes, my husband runs it. So Facebook group is the whole world. Social media, well, Facebook is social media, but like Instagram, TikTok, whole other kind of set of people potentially. In some regard, because the truth is not everybody is in our Facebook group. Not everybody follows us on Instagram. Not everybody follows us on TikTok for sure. Not everyone's on our email list.
And not everyone comes to events. Yeah.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
You're like, my life would be a lot differently if everyone was coming to events.
If everybody comes to events, I would not be working today. Like,
I know. Okay, wait. Wait, you were just going to say something really interesting. I don't even know what you were just about to say. Oh, and you were like, oh, but if you were to do it over, what were you going to say? If you were to do it over?
If I were to do it over, I would have started my email list from day freaking one because I didn't. And there are so many people that flipped through that may have rejoined our email list like later down the road.
Sure.
But it is so hard to go back and try to pull those people in your email. And it's very difficult to like, hey, you follow us on Instagram. Hey, go join our Facebook group. Or hey, you're in our Facebook group. Go follow us on Instagram. Getting people to go take action outside of a platform is very difficult.
Yes.
And a lot of people these days, even millennials, like they don't get on Facebook. Or, I mean, I'm like, so we have 4 interns right now. They're all college age. One of them had to like make a Facebook account.
I know.
Join our Facebook group.
I know.
So they can come in and support and moderate. And I'm like, oh my God.
I know.
But so it's just different. But if I had to do it over again, yeah.
And yeah, starting with the email. I mean, it makes so much sense, especially because while we're recording this podcast, it wasn't that many weeks ago or whatever that like Instagram and Facebook, like everything like shut down for, you know,
whatever,
12 hours or something. And causes like mass panic for online business owners. But I mean, just a super big plug. I've been with Flowdesk from like so early on. I mean, my pricing was like $12 a month or something like that for like 5 years. I think it just bounced up to 19 or something like that.
Yep.
And actually it's so funny because I think I told you that I had a meeting with Natalie Frank, and Natalie Frank, who now is over at Flowdesk. When I told her about Made for Mothers, it was so cute. Like big shout out to Natalie, but like public praise for Amanda, because one of the first things she said to me was, oh my gosh, Made for Mothers is amazing. Hey, do you know Amanda Smith? And I was like, well, do I? I was like, she's coming on my podcast, but I'm like a huge fangirl. So I just love that.
Gotta love Natalie.
Yes. And I love that just like fierce support for female entrepreneurs who are doing synergistic things that are not in competition, right? And I think that's just like the truth. Okay, so back to this. Okay, so tell me, Dallas Girl Gang, online, Facebook, okay, social media, okay, email list, but then you have these events. How many events are you producing on like a given month? And how do you determine what type of events you're providing members?
Yeah, so Typically, we do about 2 a month, which is a lot. In 2019, we did like 36 in a year, including our conference. Bad idea. At the time, that was the tip top of what I could scale cash flow wise.
Yeah. Like that was the big revenue generator.
And I knew it wasn't sustainable. And back in 2019, it was so fucking easy to throw an event up and like people gobble up tickets, no problem. 5 years later, things are different. The event landscape is very different in 2024.
Yeah.
Which I could talk about forever. But the way we determine what we offer is first, what is our community talking about? What do they need? What do they want? What's going to be a massive win for them and a massive value add to their life, to their everyday experience, to wherever they are on their journey. So one thing we started end of 2022 is a series called She Means Business. And it is our signature business owner, regular programming event we host once a quarter. And it's focused on female founders, entrepreneurs, with honest conversations with other CEOs and founders. So here in March, we're recording this in March, March 28th, we have an event at a new wellness facility that's female founded. She's also a mother. And we're going to do like a stretch and meditation and then have a sit down fireside chat with me and the founder of Wesley Wellness, and then have a Q&A time. But we're here to have a conversation about what's it been like to be an entrepreneur lately. She just opened this facility. She got an SBA loan to do so. Let's talk about that. What does that look like? Funding for women. And then just really open it up to the community and the audience of like, what do you want to know? Like, we're here to help.
I'm so curious. Like, I'm already like, I would be so curious for her to talk about what's it like to have like a brick and mortar wellness sort of business post pandemic where everything went online. And like, why do we need to go to a yoga studio and ever again, you know? And it's like, well, we do need to go. Yeah. We got to get out of this weird energetic dust
She also was super smart because they have a whole like corridor of the facility that's just amenities. So sauna, cold plunge, lymphatic rolling with like red light therapy and something else. I'm probably going to butcher it. But that is a massive selling point because those things are not only trending, but our society and like this pocket, especially in a large city like Dallas, women are realizing like we have to take care of ourselves.
Yes.
There is no question about it anymore. It's non-negotiable. So actually the first week of January this year, the first week of the year, they had this package where it was like, come do all of our amenities for $45. And I was like, hell yeah.
What? It's like,
I was still like not back from my holiday break. So I was like, I'm going to go give myself like the first half of the day. My husband hadn't gone back to work yet. He's a teacher. And so I went and did all the amenities. One of the girls guided me through the cold plunge. And I've done a cold plunge before, but it was very different. And it was so like restorative. I wish I lived closer because I don't really live in the city. But yeah. And so I'm a huge proponent for that. And so that's why we want to collaborate with businesses like this in Dallas when we do our event. That's one way we determine.
I was going to say that's like a great example of like there's a need, there's a business who wants to partner with you. It's trending and it sounds like it's a win-win and it's your signature programming of like these quarterly deep dives. Like I do these monthly meetups that have a similar structure, but we do them monthly and we're always at the same venue. And there's a part of me that's like, gosh, I should be like moving these around. But in my life, it's like, I don't have a team. So it's like,
don't move around. Stop playing. Because I've seen, you know, we talked about it because that space looks beautiful. Especially if they're like sponsoring it for free or like whatever. Yeah. Like, don't leave.
Yeah.
Do not leave. Stay there as long as you can. You know, trying to find more venues is always a challenge. The other way we determine like what events are we going to host is, again, what do people need and what would they come to? But brands want to work with us and they want us to bring people to their business.
Okay, you guys, we're now entering the brand partnership talk. So tune in brand partnerships because Amanda is a skilled ninja at brand partnerships and she gets asked to talk everywhere about how to create brand partnerships because These are no joke. These are good. Like you, this is what you do. This is what you do. So let's dive in. Yeah, go.
It's my favorite thing to do. And I
can tell. I can tell. I mean, people can tell that it's your favorite thing to do.
It's one of those things I feel like part of me was born to like negotiate with people. But I have not always been like this as a person. Mm-hmm. I actually think being married to my husband has made me a stronger negotiator, which is really good.
I love that.
Anyway, so people want us to bring people to their business, whether it's online or here in Dallas, there are thousands and thousands of businesses that Dallas Girl Gang has the target market for, and they want to tap into that. So if someone says, hey, we would love to invite you in for a free experience for the Dallas Girl Gang, blah, 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 I am not going to stop at accepting
free space or free services,
free drinks. Now, I will negotiate, hey, we already have an event and we need a space. Let's talk, right? But if you want me to create programming and design and full event planning, full staff, content creation, yada, 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 event backdrops and setups and activations, and then you want me to bring people to your business around this one event, like our event, experiential marketing services start at $2,500. They really should start probably a bit higher. But that is kind of a non-negotiable for me at this point. In this landscape in 2024, if you're listening and you're like, I want to get into brand partnerships, I'm not going to lie. It's very hard right now. I was listening to one of my favorite podcasts. They have millions of listeners. They've been around for 12 years. They have multiple podcasts. It's three brothers. They have like a family company. Anyway, they have like seven podcasts. Two of their podcasts right now are empty with ad space. No ads.
Whoa.
Their main podcast still has ad partners, but that's one of the first times in the history of their podcast that they have not had ads left built. And they were really public about that recently because the network they're a part of, they do a give drive. It's a listener funded network, which I think is amazing. And they talked about that. They said, hey, if you haven't noticed, on our other podcast, there's some like, we just skip right to the next part of the episode. We didn't do an ad break. And that's because advertisers are just assessing things differently here in 2024. I think it could potentially change in 2025 and kind of pick back up because I think people are going to realize, oh, yeah, that was kind of dumb. We really do have to invest in that piece of our marketing and advertising.
Yeah. When sales are down, people cut their marketing and it's like, no, you should be double down. It's like, yeah.
If anything, or go back to the people that you know have always helped you make money, mm-hmm. Or have always helped you drive traffic or brand awareness.
God. And then you listen to like New Heights. Please tell me if you ever listened to New Heights podcast.
Nope.
Okay. I love Jason and Travis Kelce. Okay.
You should
just listen to one episode of New Heights. It doesn't matter what it is. It is like it is almost hard to listen to because it is one rolling ad. Like they are like, this is the energy drink. This is the Buffalo Wild Wings. This is the thing. Like, I mean, it is like, it's almost like, no wonder the episode is almost 2 hours because it's like 45 minutes of
40 ads. Minutes of ads.
I know.
Well, it's like a football game. Like you're watching 3 hours of programming, but it's like, they're only playing football for like 24 minutes.
And the rest of it's
like huddles and ads.
But I do think that this is like an interesting conversation just around, I think, the economy and around election years in general. And so seasons of change in business and in corporate giving. I have a dense background. I was in nonprofit fundraising and corporate partnerships for a decade. And it's so much easier to get any sort of partnership, sponsorship dollar from someone who's already given to you, where the new lead is so difficult to convert.
That sales cycle is so much longer.
It's so much longer. And so I just feel like you've tapped into something where you have this very tangible experience for a brand. And also, I mean, let's call a spade a spade. You're in Dallas, right? So you're...
Yeah, it's a huge hub.
I was going to say your landscape, like when I look at your brand partnerships, it's like Olive and June, right? I see this like the nail company, right? I'm like, I love them. I'm like, are they... Oh, and then a part of me is like, oh, are they like... Is that where they're headquartered? I mean, if I lived in Atlanta, I would be like, everything's Delta, you know, like get me in here. Delta's made for mothers, you know,
yeah.
But they're not headquartered there. They just have a store. Didn't you do a brand partnership with them? Am I totally?
No, we did. They don't have a store. they only have one like flagship store in like LA.
Okay.
Or, I know California. No, they put me on their influencer list like years ago.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, oh, sweet. So I have like a lot of Olive & June products. It's like all I wear. And now their press on nails, which I'm about to go put a pair on. So I got on their list. And then I was like, well, what about this? You guys want to do this? And then we did like some virtual online things in like 2020, 2021, cool. Pandemic. And then they just launched a line with Colleen Hoover. And they did a big party in downtown Dallas.
Oh,
invited cool. us. I was like, had pneumonia. I was like dying and sick. And I said, hey, I can't come, but we can blast this out to our email list. So turn $0 into a paid something. And then now we're starting next conversations for, hey, what else can we do here? Because we have worked together for years. You know, there's so much synergy. You guys email us all the time. Like, let's go bigger.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So is it safe to say that it's common for you to work with brands who are just not like hubbed in Dallas? Because I was under the assumption, okay, well, so cool. So I'm under the assumption that you're working with all these brands that are there. That's why I'm thinking like, wow, Dallas is popping.
It's both. So
yes,
you know, I look at it as there are local businesses, small, medium, or large.
Like that wellness place.
Right? Yeah.
Okay.
Or there are corporate brands that we have a target market for. Mm. So like, you know, think of like a Flowdesk, HoneyBook, Dubsado, Collective, blah, blah, blah. All those brands are not hubbed in Dallas, but they have sponsored our conference, or they are sponsoring our conference, or because we have their ideal right. user, we have their ideal customer. They don't care where we live, where we are. Now, if it's a local focused business, you know, it's not going to make sense. You know, they have to make it make sense, right?
Right. And those budgets are going to be a lot different. Yeah,
a lot
for
different.
Sure. For sure.
Yep.
Okay. So do you feel like the biggest leverage point for your ability to create these solid brand partnerships is that you're able to use the data piece of a 42,000 membership?
Yes.
Facebook group?
I think it's the numbers, but I also think it, and this is again, a piece of how things are changing. Not that we ever just like flippantly threw things out at brands necessarily, but now you really have to paint a picture for the brand and say, not only here are my numbers, here are the experiences people are having with us. Here are our customers' buying habits. Here is what they're interested in spending their money on. Here is what the data proves for this demographic of women in DFW in 2024. And then really align it with their goals. So you really have to get it into a relationship with the brand. Let's say it's like Chase Bank. You need to get on the phone. Once you find a contact and you chase people down, which is a whole other process, get on the phone with Sandra. Let's say that's your contact name and say, Sandra, you guys want to work with us, right? Yes. Okay. If we partner together, what's going to be a win for you?
Mm-hmm.
What are y'all's goals right now besides just getting new banking customers? Like that's kind of a clear and obvious goal of why they would sponsor. They want new customers, but like what else is there? And then I'm going to go and formulate a proposal and a deck that serves to all those points to where it's not a question of if they're going to say yes. And they can always come back and be like, we have no more money left, because sometimes people don't communicate on the corporate teams and maybe they're not the ones signing your check. And it's always a question, but sometimes it's not a matter of yes or no. It's a matter of like, okay, how much? Like, mm-hmm. And I think you need to be able to ask the brand, what is your budget? So I was at lunch with a friend of mine, Christiane Yebra. She's amazing. She's been in the startup space, in the tech space. She's now in the tech sports space. She's just so killer. She spoke at our conference last year and several other events with us over the years. And her and I were talking about this. And she said that actually, I'll credit what I just kind of said to her, because she was like, it's almost like you have to really like schmooze and say, what's going to make this successful for you? Mm-hmm. Because I can do that for you, but I need to know what is your number do you really have the money? And what is it that your boss is going to say yes to, or that you're going to say yes to?
Right.
And then I can put that in front of you for you to react to. And then we can just negotiate down until we sign a contract.
Oh, I love it. I mean, it feels so black and white, even though I know it's so nuanced and there's so much work that is involved, but it feels like, yeah. I mean, it kind of blows my mind just from like my own business perspective of like how many things that I could be doing and growing and, you know, and also like, hello, we're moms. So maybe we should talk about that on Made for Mothers podcast. We're moms. So like, where does all of this like big dream, big purpose, big vision, big passion, big energy for entrepreneurship, like where does that meet like you in motherhood? Like where have you experienced those big shifts of like, listen, I don't have the same capacity right now. You know, I don't struggle with limiting beliefs. That's not my personal like mocktail of like self-deprecating thoughts.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, I have other things, right? You know, I procrastinate. I might have ADHD. I'm finding out as an adult. Okay, cool. Yay. Fun stuff. Okay. But I don't have the same capacity. I'm 2 years into motherhood. I don't have the same energy. I have the fatigue. We probably talk about hormone health on every single fucking episode. But so I really resonated what you were talking about with that wellness piece, because what you were saying is like, God, everyone needs to take care of themselves. Like, yes, that is. Yes. And mothers times 10, right? And we are never first on the list. We are last on the list. We are the last to be taken care of. So my question for you is basically what I'm trying to say here is your business to me from the outside is huge energy output. It's hugely community facing. It's very outward facing. There's a lot of behind the scenes admin stuff, running teams, running a marketing agency, running the membership, blah, 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 podcast coming back. Okay. All of this. However, that's such a big energy out that you're putting. So where does that motherhood piece where I know you have to be tired? Like, I know you have to be like, gosh, is Nash going to sleep all night? Like, oh, is childcare, is he going to be sick? Like, what does that look like for you? Like, what's that landscape of like motherhood and Dallas Girl Gang or motherhood and Amanda, right?
Oh my God.
That's I know,
a,
right?
A large I question. I will try to answer in under like three.
Under 3 hours.
Under 3 hours. Excuse me. So grab a drink. Oh my God. First of all, nothing is hardly ever what it seems online. I think one thing I've discovered lately.
Amen.
Here's the thing. What you just told me, you perceive my brand to be. You perceive. Now, the energy output, yes. Whatever you're perceiving, you might think this. And actually, like, the last year has been a struggle. I stopped coaching. That was a huge revenue stream. But I knew I didn't have the capacity for it anymore. I didn't have the capacity to, like, write a book, one-on-one clients, and do a group coaching program. Like, there was one time, 2021 and 2022, I had like 13 coaching clients at one time. It was way too many. And now, was it profitable? It's a fucking movie.
Yes, but I know.
And I'm kind of like, what am I doing? So what you see is the big vision and the mission of what we're doing. And, you know, by no means are we $1 million business. By no means are we even a $500,000 business or even close to it. So I just kind of want to like put that out there first. It still means big things, big movement, all that stuff. To your point about motherhood, I knew I would have less capacity, but I didn't realize how much.
I know.
Really, I know. What it would look like when it came down to it. I had put aside some savings before I had my son in my business, and I wanted to take a full 3 months, ended up taking about 10 weeks off for maternity leave for myself.
Kind of hard.
I had him January 26th. I went back first week of April. So not great.
I mean, not the worst, but not the best.
Not the worst.
Right?
I was very, very thankful and blessed that I could do that.
Yeah. Especially as an entrepreneur. I mean, it sounds like your husband has a tradition.
Hard.
Did your husband have paternity leave?
No, he's a teacher. Absolutely not.
Oh yeah. And you're like in Texas, right? They like hate moms. Sorry. Excuse me.
Well,
I know.
This is like a,
it's super
a national
it's,
thing.
I know it's for sure. I should not take that back.
It's okay.
Emily,
it's okay.
Edit it out. No, I'm just kidding.
No, but I will say, so when I was a teacher, if I'd stayed a teacher, I would have had to save all of my days that rolled over if I wanted a paid maternity leave. For most educators in this country, if you want a maternity leave, you can take it legally. You have to be able to, but you have to file for FMLA, which just means you get 66% of your regular paycheck for every day.
And your regular paycheck is so disgraceful. Yeah.
Yeah.
As
now,
educators.
Where we live in Texas, it's above the state average. So that's good, but it's still not like amazing. And we know, you know, my husband is amazing at his job. He is so good at what he does. He freaking loves what he does. So There's not a question of like, oh, you need to go get another job. He's always worried about the whole other conversation. But as a mom, the capacity of not only being a mom and then having a business that I'm trying to keep running and keep paying myself full time and pay contractors and manage a team. And then, oh, wait, I actually started a marketing agency, like a psycho. What am I doing? Right. I kept my son home for 13 months, full time, no daycare. I had a babysitter come probably 6 months, 6 to 8 months out of that, but she would only come 6 hours a week. That's all we could afford at the time.
Yeah.
And she was $20 an hour. And I was like, oh my God. But it was like perfect the way it all worked out.
Yeah.
And our agency is doing really well and picked up. So frankly, what I'm making from our agency is now paying for daycare. And he's now
thankfully.
Thank the Lord. Otherwise, we'd be fucked. Otherwise,
I'm just laughing because it's like, thankfully, this huge other business that I started and all the revenue that I get from it or all the profit I make for it can just cover the childcare bill. I mean, like, that is just so terrible. I mean, it's
terrible.
I'm so glad you have that. Don't get me wrong.
Same. It's just, I know exactly what you mean.
It's so terrible that I have moms who are like, I have to pay for childcare to come to a meetup. And then I started getting corporate sponsors to get scholarship seats because I don't want a mom to ever be like, I can't afford a $47 meetup plus a $25 babysitter plus the time. I mean, just the access is so sad to me.
I mean, and I'll be like super transparent because everybody knows how much childcare costs. Ours is $1,000 a month. And for where we live, that's pretty average, actually. Mm-hmm. And everywhere around here.
Because he's in daycare now. Yeah.
Everywhere we live right now doesn't offer part-time anymore.
I know. Just thinking, that's hard.
Hey, let's do 3 days a week. I can do 3 days a week. Like, after keeping him home for a year, I'm like, do anything. Like, I mean,
that's what I call nooks and crannies. CEO is like a whole, that's a real skill set. That is like, I can get so much done at 6 a.m., at 1 p.m. during nap, and at 7 p.m. Now, do I want to work like that? No.
And it's not sustainable.
It doesn't feel good in my physical body or in my marriage, really. I mean, you know. But the nooks and crannies, of course. Moms can get it done, but it's like, should they, you know, do they have to get it done like that, you know?
Well,
but you're saying, okay, so it's $1,000 a month. So so $12,000 a year, boom, childcare right there for it sounds like part-time, right?
No, it's full. It is full-time.
Oh, full-time. Okay.
Which is amazing.
So, but I want to go back to this point that you said earlier, which I want to just reiterate this because I think this is like a really powerful thing that you said is I knew my capacity was going to be limited when I had Nash. I didn't realize how limited it was going to be. How do we change that for moms? How do we change that narrative? How do we start sharing these experiences that talk less about birth and about labor, unmedicated, natural, you know, hospital, home birth? There's so much emphasis on the birthing experience for moms, right? Like that's what most people talk about. That's what most people kind of hyper focus on. Because it is monumental. It's monumental to have a baby.
It is important.
But that maternity leave, that fourth trimester, that 2 years postpartum, those hormones, that lack of sleep, that's how it impacts your marriage, how you're constantly juggling these competing demands, how you have the mental load of motherhood, plus like limiting beliefs, entrepreneurship. How do we change and share more honestly about none of us have it together? I love this trend. We're recording this podcast while this trend is going out, and I'm sure you've seen it, is like social media is fake. Here's like 8 things that are my honest truth.
That I struggle with. Yeah.
Yeah. That I struggle with. Right. And I'm loving it. I'm loving it because I follow mostly all mom brands. Right. So it's like, I struggle thinking I'm a bad mom. I struggle with, you know, all this stuff. So I'm just wondering, like, what would you have wanted to hear? Like, what could you share? Like, how do we change these experiences, particularly for moms who are entrepreneurs? Because that
business
is
because
you don't have those traditional built-in maternity leaves. You don't. The first thing I ask my coaching clients is like, well, what's your childcare like? Do you live next to your grand? Do you live next to grandparents? What's the support system? Who's helping you? You know, because it's not designed. We're not designed to do this on an island. We're not designed to run businesses on an island. We're not designed to motherhood on an island. And these moms, like, we're both on the same island. Like, so I'm just curious. Yeah. So long question, shorter is like, what would you have wanted to hear, or what would be helpful for someone else to hear so that maybe they wouldn't have that same like, oh my gosh, this is wildly unexpectedly harder or different or
I think I would have probably before I had him. Not like in a postpartum season, but before I had him, I wish.
Please don't tell me 6 weeks postpartum.
Yeah, I'll be like, fuck you, get out of here.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have heard, hey, get your ducks in a row now. Here's what your schedule is actually like. You were saying, okay, here's a nap time, here's a wake window, here's another nap time, and then here's when they go to bed. That's when you can work. I'm a very like tangible person. So if someone would have shown me like, here's what your schedule's now going to be like, that would have been really cool. I also, I wish I had someone tell me or give me a plan of like taking care of your body and your mind. I definitely had a rough season of postpartum depression. I've struggled with depression and anxiety my whole adult life, basically. So I knew, me and my therapist had talked about it. We knew it was probably coming. And then when it hit, it felt like out of left field, and it totally wasn't in hindsight. But I mean, you can't focus on work. You can't take care of your kid. Like, I needed a lot of help. And I think figuring out your priorities before you have the kiddo and knowing, like, what can my business do without me? What help do I have on my team? What help do I have in my life? Then the only other thing I'm even going to mention, because I could talk about a lot of different things, but if I'm giving advice to someone, you have to get so rock solid with your partner.
Yeah.
Before, if you are a mom, business owner, and you are having a baby, first time or not, and you are a full-time entrepreneur, especially, and you are paying the bills in any fashion, you have to get rock solid with your partner before. I have said this publicly and he hates it. I have the best partner on the planet. My husband is the fucking best. He will move mountains for me. He will move a car for me. He will kill a man. Like, I don't care. Like, you know, whatever it takes. He works in my business for me. He believes in what I'm doing. He doesn't understand everything that I do, but he believes in what I'm doing. So when we didn't have childcare, he would work his teaching job at 4:30, come home, take Nash all night until bedtime. So I would say, all right, you know, we're trading off.
So shift working. Yeah.
Shift working. And now that was not sustainable, right? Like, we both had a moment where I was like, oh, okay. Like, and we don't really fight. So it was weird when we were starting to like argue with each other. And I was like, okay, time out. I think it's time for daycare. You know, like, we can't keep bringing
this. It's so unsustainable for you to like mom all day like that. And then go into like work mode. And I just don't believe that those days should be that long. There's no rest. There's no for your husband either.
Well, and he's also in grad school. He teaches full time. Oh. We're both very involved in our church. And like all the things. And so on Saturdays and Sundays, our days will be full. He has grad school work to do. I have work, business work to catch up on. We're both at church. One of us is playing on the worship team. Someone's doing this. And then we're trying to like have a social life with like our friends and our family.
And drink some water.
And drink water. And like try to go to bed at 9 o'clock, you know? And so we were both we were both burning the candle at both ends, and it was pretty rough for a long time. And then, you know, we get into daycare and I'm like, oh my gosh, my life has changed. And then we all got sick really bad.
Right. And oh my gosh.
For like 2 weeks and NASA to the hospital and like, you know, all this stuff. But still, it's worth paying so much money because I was thinking about it the other day, I'm a better mom and I'm a better partner. I'm a better business owner. I'm a better boss. I'm a better business partner in my agency when I have more help.
Yeah.
I don't even like admitting that because I'm like, I miss my son. He used to be with me all the time, but he's going to have to go to school eventually. And like, that's how life is. So I'm trying to get used to that. Like I said, I don't love admitting that, but I think everybody has a hard time with that as a mom.
Everyone has a hard time with that. We have a nanny and my son's two and he's home full time. And I'm running in and out of my office all day. I work only 9 to 2. I have a nanny from 9 to 2, 4 days a week. And my husband travels like pretty extensively, 100+ days a year. He works in like ending school shootings. So it's something I'm really, really, really deeply passionate about, but I'm also deeply resentful for, because I'm like, how dare you like stay home? Like, we need you. But then like all these other families need you. It's complex.
It's hard.
It is so hard, but I love that I can sit here and record this podcast and like look out my window and see my son like playing in the yard. And I have a lot more like attachment issues with like, I don't want him away from me. So postpartum anxiety is like, I think we don't talk enough about how that can affect you for like up to 5 years. I mean, it's not just this like, you know, the doctors are like, okay, well, baby blues are normal after 2 weeks. So, I mean, if you feel good, if you don't feel depressed, you know, but baby blues are normal within the first 2 weeks of having your baby or whatever, 6 weeks, 2 weeks, I can't remember. And anything after that is like postpartum depression, postpartum anxiety. But there's subtle ways that those intrusive thoughts and intrusive ways of being creep into your motherhood. And I think being post-pandemic parents too, like we're operating in a world that's a little bit trickier. And so, or less connected. Like I didn't have like prenatal yoga. I didn't have mommy and me groups. My husband had to wear a mask during our birth. Like we were.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It was a 2022 birth. He was like, we had to take COVID tests when we came into the hospital. If my husband had COVID, he was going to have to leave, you know? So it's like,
Oh gosh. So I didn't even think about that.
So I just appreciate Amanda, first of all, I just appreciate you as a business owner and as a mom and as a person and, you know, hopefully my future best friend. But I also appreciate the honesty that you show up in these conversations for, you know, your inner circle of people who know you and can support you. Like, A, if they listen to this, amazing. That's like going to be so good for them to hear this. And B, just like future moms and see like your larger community. Like everyone wants to take part in community. They want to be in community. They want to go to events. They want all these things. I don't want people to lose sight of like, there's someone leading this vision and it's a mom and it's a person and she's a human and she needs like a whole holistic team of support around her to make these communities work. Because it's not like everyone wants community, but the amount of work it takes to build the community, that's why there's not a lot of communities.
And then all those community hosts are like, we're doing it. But on the back end, we're like, I'm so tired.
I know. I'm so tired. I just ran into my friend at the grocery store, which is a big deal because I actually have only lived in this town for like 5 years. And so whenever I see anyone out and I know them, I'm like, I've arrived. Like, I know people. I'm a part of this community. And she's like, she's pregnant. She's due in May. Amy. Hey, Amy. And I'm laughing because I'm like, how are you? Because she's like, I'm so tired. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so tired. And I'm like, I'm not pregnant. I'm so fatigued. I'm so tired. And she's like, me too. I'm like, gosh, I just hate this. That is usually the leading like vibe of moms these days. But I just hope that there's more honest conversations where these can shift and things can shift. And at least there's just some knowledge base, like a deeper knowledge base, whether or not that doesn't change the reality. It's like, okay, well, at least someone told me this.
Yeah, I don't have a solution.
No, but there's honest conversation. And I think
here to talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah. And not like pretend it's not happening, right? Because I think that when we all think that everyone has these like picture perfect Instagram lives, their motherhood and their business, that's not fair. That's super not fair. Mm-hmm. So Where can people find you? We didn't even talk about your membership, but where can people find you? Where can they follow you? Talk about the conference really fast, because that's going to be coming up.
Yeah. Awesome. So Amanda Zendales is my personal handle. And then everything that I do is linked in my profile there. Our conference, Dallas Girl Gang, our agency. Oh gosh. Okay. Boss Vision Conference this is our 7th year and really like our 4th, 5th year doing it in this format. September 21, 22 in Dallas at the brand new, there's a company that's a nonprofit called the Dallas Entrepreneur Center here in Dallas. And they have a brand new event space. Gorgeous. They've been such a huge support to us over the years.
Cool.
It's going to be fantastic. And this year we're actually, instead of like going bigger and getting more attendees, we're actually capping it at 150 attendees. And we already pre-sold some early bird tickets. So we actually don't even have 150 tickets to sell. So I anticipate we'll probably sell out. Can't really send any speakers or anything yet, but tickets will go on sale in April. Yeah, I mean, we have a guide on brand partnerships through the Dallas Girl Gang brand. So if you just go to the Dallas Girl Gang Instagram and our link in bio, it's right there. And it's like an easy $47.
Mm-hmm. I'll link it in the show notes. I've seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super easy. And our team included some like templates for like contract agreement.
Oh, cool.
Like, how should you lay it out? I mean, there's so many things to talk about, but you know, just go find us and, you know, whatever, like tickles your fancy, mm-hmm.
You know, and you don't have to be in Dallas. And you don't have to be Dallas to get inspiration and learn.
Or
and
come to the conference. Like everybody from all over the country comes to this conference now. So come.
Yeah. It's on my list. I'm like, can I swing it? It's my husband's birthday. And I'm like, does he want to go to Dallas? Does he want to go to Dallas for the weekend? I was like, I doubt he wants to go anywhere. He wants to be like in the woods. He wants to be like in the woods on his birthday.
That sounds nice.
I know. He wants to always be like camping. Our birthdays are 5 days apart. So we're always like, I can't wait. I'm like, there's a future where we just go to Europe for a week for a birthday or go on some like trip for a birthday. And that's like what we do. But not with kids. Yeah, so. Well, Amanda,
thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. Thank you. This has been so fun. I'm like, whenever I'm like ending, I'm always like, was this just fun for me? Are people going to be into this?
No. I think it's going to be a lot of fun for people to listen to.
Yeah, I think so. So, thank you again, just for, you know, your time, your energy, your wisdom, and all that you do to create more community. And if you like the show, rate it, follow Amanda, subscribe, all that fun, you know, hustle, love this podcast stuff. And if you found anything interesting in this conversation, send Amanda a DM and let her know that you found her through Made for Mothers. And if you have any conversations, you know, that you want to continue to have with her, you know, I know that you're so gracious with like your time and your DMs and stuff. So I love it. All right, girlfriend. Thank you.
Yay! You just finished another episode of the Made for Mothers podcast. As always, you can find more details about today's show in the show notes, and be sure to give us a review, subscribe, so you don't miss a chance to grow your biz from fellow moms. Are you wanting more one-on-one support, or are you looking to learn how to market your business in a way so you can spend more time with your family and less time stressing about what to do next? Then follow along on Instagram at Mariah Stockman, or book a one-on-one biz therapy session with yours truly. And let's find that work-mamahood harmony we all deserve. Until next time, this is your host, Mariah Stockman, and thank you so much for tuning in.